Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a victory Monday. A reunited Monday as well.
Yeah, man.
Good morning to you, Randy. How are you? Great to see you.
What's happening, man? Good to see you. Good to be back up in his house, cracking his mic open and everything, especially after a victorious weekend, Sunday by the Falcons and everything like that. But yeah, man, it's good to be back. Been like, you know, they don't watch a lot of American football, so I caught everything on a delay. And when my iPad was streamed, I got to watch a lot of ball. The greatest gift was going and watching Georgia win that game and being on an airplane with people that don't know nothing about American football and why this American man is screaming and yelling.
You were watching the game on the plane?
Yes. Hawaiian Air has free Wi-Fi and it streams. So I was looking at it on my iPad. Because I watched the first half, Andy, in the airport
in Hawaii.
Yeah. Watched first half.
Great.
At the bar.
Great performance.
Yeah, let's do it.
20-0 at halftime.
Yeah, man.
Feeling good.
Get on the plane. Start watching it on there. And, yeah.
The miss hit the kickoff. And you're like, what are they doing?
What the hell's going on? But the ultimate part was when they changed the play because of the water bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And
Andy, you were on an airplane?
Yes.
Rough estimate. Like how many beverages do you think you had had at that point that day?
Because by then I was judging my drinking pattern by East Coast in the 6-hour difference.
Okay.
So I got up Saturday morning at 6 o'clock and was knocking them back.
So you're like, that's noon.
Yeah. And so
by the time
my flight left, we left right at halftime of the Alabama game.
Okay.
No, not Alabama. Whatever the second game was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. And so by then I'm all in.
So yeah, so you're lubed up.
I ain't gonna. And so when he reversed that day of Carl Buck, I said, "Are you kidding me?" I had my headphones on, so I didn't know how loud I said it.
Uh-huh.
And I've been elbowed before. I ain't ever been elbowed that hard by a woman. Man, she hit me in that sweet spot in my rib so hard, dog. But yeah, that was a whole lot of fun watching them win that football game.
Yeah, well, that was crap.
Yeah.
It was crap that they overturned that call.
Man.
Obviously, we spent a little time last week on that one for sure. But
I don't understand that.
But you know what? Great win.
Yeah, man. I loved it. Made it even better.
Yeah.
Made the trip even better that they end up winning the game. But yeah, I had a good time. Glad to be back and everything, man. Just it was amazing. My wife thanks everybody for her birthday wishes. I mean, it was just all around just the funnest trip that me and her been on. It's ranked number one.
That's great. It was fun following you guys on social media and seeing all the stuff that she planned, definitely.
Yes. Yeah.
That she planned. Yeah. And then you were, you know, you did some of.
Yeah. Man, I got in the damn ocean with some sharks.
Didn't think I'd see the day where Randy McMichael dipped his toes in the ocean with a shark.
Yeah, man. I don't care if they don't eat you. It was like 20 of them, so I'm sure if 20 of them nibble on you, that takes a flash.
20 nibbles a bite, man.
Yeah.
20 nibbles a big bite.
Yeah, every time they came towards me, took my ass the other way. I wouldn't mess with no damn shark.
Yeah, and it was that one stingray that looked like he was getting real friendly with some of the people.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Yeah, I don't know. No. I might have been in the boat just kind of watching that one, but you got in.
Yeah, man.
You're a brave man.
I don't know what plea means in French at the end of sentence. Yeah, he said it. I thought he called me a female dog, so I jumped in.
Yeah, you'd think a French guy might have questioned your manhood.
I did.
You're like, all right, I'm swimming with some sharks.
I'm swimming with some sharks.
Yeah, all right. All right, Pierre.
Yeah.
I'm getting in.
And universally, nobody likes Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, you've confirmed that on every continent you've been to.
Yes.
He's just unpopular.
Yes, they don't like him.
Unpopular.
French people don't like him.
NBA season's underway as well. Hawks had a tough one last night against Thunder. Probably won't spend a ton of time talking about that one. They played okay. The Thunder are just a lot better than they are. But the Falcons go out and get the win yesterday in Tampa against the Bucks, 31-26. They were rolling at times during that game and then kind of made some dumb mistakes and kind of let them back in. And it came down to the final possession, as it often does.
Yep.
And when you said it, I felt the same way. When Baker let that ball go, I was like, oh, you know what's about to happen.
Oh, my God.
And it didn't.
He caught it.
He caught it, but he was out of bounds.
Did we find out what happened to the policeman?
Ankle.
Oh.
Yeah.
On IR?
I don't know. He's going to be down to workers' comp, something like that. Yeah, I think Mike confirmed that it was an ankle break. But, yeah, hopefully he'll be all right. But the bottom line is they get the win. They're 4-0 in the division, which is the first time they've done that in over a decade. Just absolute catbird spot in the NFC South now, with two games remaining against the two worst teams.
Yep.
Obviously, you handled your business against the Bucks, who are good. Now, if you beat, look, you go 6-0 in the division. That's crazy. That never happens. I mean, that's
unless you're the Patriots back in the day.
You're right. Occasionally, but it doesn't happen often, and it's usually very dominant dominant teams when you're doing that. I mean, you're halfway to 10-6. Could be 11-6 because it's 17 games now, but you're in a really good spot right now in the NFC. And as they were talking about before, as you sort of look at the landscape around the NFC in general, I mean, the Lions are really, really good.
Yes.
They're really, really good. Yes. I know the Commanders are 6-2, and that was a miraculous finish yesterday for sure. But outside of the Lions, there's not really a team you look at and it's like, I don't know. Like, there's teams getting healthy and this and that, but, like, the Falcons are right in there with everybody in the NFC, it feels like.
Oh, yeah, they're sitting pretty right now. And a lot of it's because of the division that they play in. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you can only play the games that you're assigned. And mm-hmm. they're, like I said, undefeated in this division. Yesterday, you know, coming into it, because it was the Falcons, I kind of switched my view on, well, this shouldn't be close. You know, they're without the best weapons and everything like, but it's the damn Falcons, and this is Falcon defense, and yet they're still going to not pressure the quarterback. And that was the thing. I know we talk about sacks, but just pressure them. Mm-hmm. Pressure them. And, you know, but they were fortunate enough. Baker threw some bad balls. That play by Jesse Bates was just unbelievable.
Which one? The punch or the pick?
The pick.
Because that
The pick was unbelievable and everything. Then A.J. Terrell, great pick by him. I didn't get to – I watched the highlights of the Seattle game the next day, and it's like he had a rough day. Mm-hmm. But D.K. Metcalf gives a lot of, corners a rough day and everything like that. But I thought he played outstanding. And I thought his tackling, his ability – like I said, he got the pick and everything. I thought he was really, really good. But yet they had issues, couldn't guard the tight end. I mean, you're just like, okay, somebody do something different. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing is like this, the comfortability that quarterbacks play with this team. It's just you can't go as far as you want to go. Now, again, if you look at the NFC, I think Detroit is head and shoulders the best team.
I do too.
I mean, I think they're head and shoulders. I think San Francisco's still going to be San Francisco.
Yeah, the way they played. I know that they let the Cowboys back in the fourth quarter yesterday, but as they get healthier, and you just assume that they will. And, it's all about McCaffrey. Like, if Christian McCaffrey comes back and is okay, then San Francisco's right there with
him. And he should be coming back in a couple weeks from what I read before we left. So you got those two teams. And then after that, I mean, Green Bay, they're hit or miss, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because Jordan Love, he got went out again yesterday. Mm-hmm. He will give you the football. You know, I'm not a believer in Arizona. I'm sorry. I'm not a believer in Arizona. Then you look at where you're at in the South, Atlanta. I think Atlanta is the best team in this division. And then I'm missing the NFC East. Then the Commanders are the best team. Dallas, we'll talk about them in the NFL No Huddle. They are on a struggle bus because they don't have no talent. They got more expensive, but they got worse. And I know they got their two best defensive players are out and all that, but whatever. The Commanders, I love Jaden. But I don't know how good this team is.
I agree with you.
I don't know how good this team is.
I don't buy it, but I say that every week, and they're 6-2.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, don't know how good this team is.
Yeah.
The Eagles are the most talented team in that division. They had a nice win yesterday and everything. So how good are they? But, yeah, the Falcons are right where they need to be. And, you know, yesterday was one of those – it was just – you know, Kirk was outstanding yesterday. Mm-hmm. He was so good yesterday. Quarterback sneak, love it. Love the quarterback sneak. Love the 13-yard. That was first down.
Give
that man his first down.
Give him his first down. He fell forward.
Give him his first down. But, I mean, we were talking about it before the show. I mean, you had a catastrophic situation not go the way it was. You fumble in the end zone.
Yeah.
That's a touchdown.
It could have been way worse. Yes. I heard Wes and Dave, as I was driving back from the watch party at Hammerheads yesterday in Suwannee, by the way, shout out to Hammerheads and all the 92.9 Game listeners that showed up.
Right.
That was a fun time. That's a good place to watch a football game. But you're driving back, and obviously they kick it out of the back of the end zone, and it's a safety. And Dave's like, of the three things that could have happened there, that's the best one.
Yep.
Because if they fall on it on the five, they're going to score.
Right.
They very easily could have fell on it in the end zone. That's an immediate touchdown. I mean, the 2 points of the three evils, that's the lesser. And they were able to hang on. Yeah. They hung on for dear life, but they were able to hang on.
You know, the short yardage when you got to have it. You got to get that first down. Yep. You know what I mean? There's certain situations where you got to have it. But, again, they went for it. They need the quarterback. And then to put yourself in a situation, Young Wiku's been awesome all year.
Yeah.
It's been good all freaking year long.
That's a layup for him.
Yes, and he shanks.
Just shanks it.
Shanks.
Yep.
But again, how you know that was going to happen? You knew it was going to happen.
Nothing easy.
Yeah.
Nothing easy. Everything hard.
It can't be.
Nothing's easy. Everything's hard. All right. We'll come back. We'll tell you what's trending here on a Monday morning. Mike Conte going to join us at 11:40 as well. We'll talk a little Hawks with him as their season is underway, as well as Atlanta United. Didn't get the win on Friday night, but they have another one. They get to play on Saturday here at home, and if they win that one, they send it to Game 3. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Five claps, and he gets the snap. Going to rip it for Pitts. Caught. Kyle in stride. 25-20. 15-10-5. touchdown. The ball got knocked loose as Pitts broke the line. Two running backs for Mayfield, who wants to throw again. Looking, shoots it for the end zone. Intercepted A.J. Terrell. At the 6-yard line, he read it all the way.
Another
Dave Archer.
Another example of Arch just speaking on behalf of all of us. What are you doing? Like, what are you thinking about?
What the hell?
I don't know.
I mean,
this is the best play of his career.
Dude, he
was incredible.
He played.
Oh, by the way, happy National Tight End Day.
Thank you. And the tight ends were balling yesterday.
Most catches ever on a Sunday from tight ends.
Dude,
combined.
They were balling. I mean, Kittle's balled yesterday. I saw, you know, we'll get into that, whatever. But yeah, I was like, Kyle, like, and of all people, run that dude.
Right, of all people. You know he's coming for the ball.
You know he's coming for the football.
Also, you had to run through traffic to get there. Like, they're still going to be with you. What do you think?
I don't know, dog. Oh, man. And I don't know where that camera was, the angle and all those different things.
Thank goodness it wasn't on the goal line.
Thank God it wasn't working.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But, I mean, come on, man. You can't put your team in that type of, you know, that type of situation, dog. You can't do it, man. You can't do it because of the fact that you're rolling. I mean, you're playing really good. This is the best you've played in 2 years. Don't give us people a reason to be like, oh, see?
Yeah. Even when it's great, there's those little, come on.
He's in that position when even if it's great, something like that will take away all that good stuff. I don't believe it should, but it will. And so, that was frustrating. But, again, didn't hurt the football team.
It all worked out.
You're in a situation where, you take the lead. Obviously, they come out at halftime, go down there, great throw by Kurt to Moody for the touchdown. Yeah. And then you're rolling, and you're like, okay, we got to don't do anything to let them back in the game. And for this team, they go into a damn prevent in the third quarter and allow Baker to just throw the ball, pepper the ball. Just like stay in attack mode. But then you look at this defense. When is this defense ever in attack mode?
Not often. Not the front seven.
Yeah, they're just never. Yeah.
I will say the secondary, I know they went in to prevent in the second half and allowed a lot of yards, but they made big plays. Yes. A.J. Terrell was out there hitting dudes like that. I think yesterday was probably the best overall game he's had. Obviously, that pick was beautiful, but it wasn't too long before that where he de-cleated a guy.
He was putting pads on people yesterday, Buck. And
Jesse Bates is great every Sunday.
Yeah,
Sunday.
He was out as running mate yesterday. I saw Justin was a late scratch or whatever. Mm-hmm. He was going to be out with the hamstring and everything. But, yeah, Jesse, he just does Jesse things. I mean, you get to poke out. I mean, you one player that causes two turnovers in one game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a special situation. And we all, I think one of our listeners tweets today every week, you damn right, worth every damn penny.
Oh, yeah.
Worth every damn penny. But, I mean, they were able to have balance, the 29 rushes, 29 passes, 4.4 yards a carry, almost 400 yards. But they gave them damn near 500 yards, you know. And sometimes you can always look into the yardages, when will those yards gain? When was the situation where those yards were gained?
That's true.
You know, and when was Baker making throws? Mm-hmm. Okay, they played a more – I'm sorry, they played that too high coverage – where, you know, that intermediate 15, whatever, is always going to be open, and they just kept connecting. And so, you know, they were going to be in this football game. But just like every game, we talked about it, they're going to be in these games. When have they won a game comfortable this year?
Only Carolina. Even Carolina was a one-score game midway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, they had to come up. I think it was a pick that they made and were able to go down there. I mean, it was uncomfortable in the other direction against Seattle.
Yes.
So that game was just that game just kind of sucked. And luckily, you got to kind of get that taste out of your mouth a little bit yesterday with the win over Tampa. But, yeah, I mean, that's what we talked about it on Friday. It was like, look, I know Evans and Godwin being out is a huge deal.
Yes.
That's a huge deal. And you can't lose. Don't lose to the team without him.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean Baker's not going to throw the football.
Yep.
That doesn't mean Cade Otton or something. And Cade Otton was the guy we talked a lot about on Friday. It was like, he's just a good player, and Baker likes throwing it to him, and on National Tight Ends Day, all that. And just don't let one of those guys kill you. And they did. Cade Otton had nine catches, 91 yards,
nine
and two
catches
touchdowns.
On 10 targets.
Yeah.
He was very efficient. Nine catches on 10 targets.
Very efficient yesterday. But again, Kirk likes throwing against Tampa. Passer rating of 145 yesterday, 23 of 29, four touchdowns, spreading the ball around. Mooney had five of them. Pitts had four of them. Bijan had six catches. Drake London had four.
I love watching Bijan play.
Yeah, me too.
I love watching.
I like when he gets the ball.
I love when he gets the ball. Yeah. The one play they had, it was short. He catches a little dump off pass, and it's him and the linebacker, and he barely makes a move, and he's around him.
Yeah.
You know, I just love.
What a nightmare position to be in.
I love watching
as a linebacker.
I love watching that young man play. But I thought, you know, they did what they needed to do. They short yardage everything. I understand you bring your battering ram in there and Tyler Algiers, and hopefully you can, you know, shorten some necks and try to keep that clock running and everything. And I didn't have a problem with the time management at the end of the game. As far as I would have went for the field goal the first time, but
right.
That's just me.
Right.
But, I mean, it didn't matter. He missed,
He missed it the second time.
The second time. And
I thought they did a good job of getting Tampa to use their timeouts.
Yeah, exactly. I thought they did a really good job. But that's always one of those things that when you're on offense and you're trying to get them to use their timeouts and you're only gaining 1 yard,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, damn, it's second and nine. They know we're gonna run the football
again. They
know
exactly what we're
going to
do.
And you're at an unfair advantage because they're going to bring more than you can block. Mm-hmm. And then you hope the running back can make one guy miss and maybe get 4 yards. And so you're at 3rd and 5 maybe or something like that. But if you're 39 and then they still know you're going to run the football. But, I was not surprised. I was kind of surprised by the quarterback sneak, and he was short.
Yeah.
But, dang.
That's whatever.
He was short. The tight end, I love how he folded back in and pushed and pushed Kurt past the first down line. But, yeah, Kurt was outstanding yesterday. He really, really was. I mean, his decision-making, it was fast, it was quick. That two-minute drive before the half,
mm-hmm.
clinical.
Mm-hmm.
Clinical. That the corner route to Mooney was just – that's money.
That little shake that Mooney made to kind of get the DB leaning the wrong way, and then he turns the other way. Almost like a post move,
yeah,
you know.
Man, it was nasty.
Picks up an extra 15 yards after the
nasty.
Catch. Yeah, no, they're rolling in the pass game, no doubt. And like you said, they kept it balanced and were able to kind of do enough on the ground to keep Tampa honest. I mean, I'll bring it up. It's not new, but it is true. They don't do anything to the quarterback.
No,
they don't make his job uncomfortable at all on Sunday. There was a trade deadline coming up. Maybe they address that need there.
Who?
I don't know. There's guys out there.
Yeah.
Harold Landry, Arden Key. That team sucks. They'll trade him.
No, I'm talking about the player you're talking about.
Like, I don't know how much difference they're
going to make. Yeah, I mean, like, Arden Key.
Better than the guys that are here.
Key, I mean.
Maybe not. I'm just throwing names out there, man.
Arden Key.
He's available.
Yeah. No. And it's getting bad. Judon's a non-factor.
Those are the guys, Za'Darius Smith. From Cleveland, but they won.
So why would you get rid of him?
I guess you can't sell parts now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like you're waiting for these teams. I saw a couple weeks ago Ojulari, the kid that played here.
Yeah,
he's a guy.
He's available.
They play for the Giants, right?
Yeah.
So if they win tonight. How does that? I don't think they're going to win tonight. But hell, this has been a strange damn league.
It's been a weird year.
It really has been. But yeah, they got to figure out something. And then it goes back to: do you bring extra guys?
Well, they blitz a lot.
They blitz. That's the difference. Just because a guy is blitzing.
Yeah.
Can he get there?
No.
That's a crazy thing because now you're sitting there as a defensive coordinator. You're sitting there at Jimmy Lake saying, okay, I can't get any pressure, so I got to bring other guys. Okay, they're not getting there. So what am I not doing as a play caller to design something to get these guys there? Do I need to bring a guy from the other? I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I honestly don't.
No, I know.
I honestly don't.
There isn't one. There isn't an answer.
It's just not – that's not what they do.
They don't have the guys to do it.
Yeah.
They don't have the guys to do it.
Giving up almost 5 yards of carry on the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, without the Baker turnovers yesterday, you might end up winning that game. They might lose the game.
Well, a big part of the win was the turnovers, for sure. I mean, you score that first touchdown on a short field and keep them out of the end zone a couple of times with the turnovers in the second half, those interceptions. But look, I mean, that's the deal. Those guys in the secondary are going to have to make those plays in order to keep offenses like Tampa out of the end zone enough to give your offense a chance to win the game. Because that's how you're going to win games.
Yeah.
Like Kirk's not going to go for 4 touchdowns and a 145 passer rating every single week,
right.
But you're going to have to score about 30 points.
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah. And I think the biggest thing they did was because, I mean, you want to talk about the first quarter just between plays – between the Falcons and the Bucs, and then time of possession between the Falcons and the Bucs in that first half, they were able to contain the ball more.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was key for the Falcons because Bucs, I mean, they were running away with the time of possession and plays running, everything like that. And that's you not getting off the field
mm-hmm.
on third down because were they 9-14 on third down yesterday?
Yeah, the Bucs were very good on third down.
Yeah, 9-13. I mean, that's just
Falcons were pretty good on third down.
They were 50%, 6-12. That's just not good.
Mm-mm.
I mean, 9-14 on third down is not good. They ran 12 more plays than the Falcons did, but I mean, 12 more plays, but only had one more drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's how big and how important. And then let's not forget special teams play.
Oh,
special teams play. I mean, I don't know. Usually whenever you're the person protector, you have, an audible to call off the fake. Well, the Falcons have you outnumbered, bruh. You call off the fake. And they did not. The Falcons did a great job of stringing it out, making the play, getting turnover on downs.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear from Raheem after the game yesterday.
It's awesome, man. Coming down here to Tampa, these guys putting together, fighting all the way through, finding a way to get that win is absolutely outstanding, what we love to do.
Yeah. I mean, look, it got tight at the end, as most of these games are going to, but the bottom line is what we said earlier. You get the win, 31-26, you're 5-3, you're 4-0 in the division, so you have a huge advantage against the teams that you're competing against to try to get into the playoffs out of the NFC South. And again, there's a lot of positives for sure, mostly on offense. Some of the turnovers you're creating on defense too. And again, I don't know the answer to the question as far as affecting the quarterback. I'm sure they're searching for that answer as well. But if you can score points and pass the ball the way that they have been, you're going to be able to be competitive with pretty much anybody.
Yeah, and you're going to have to be able to, you know, keep drives and everything like that, because maybe if your defense is rested, you know, that's always the one thing. You possess the ball more, your defense doesn't have all those plays.
That's true.
Could that be something that can help out the pass rush?
Because
we already figured out them getting a lead doesn't help.
It doesn't matter.
So maybe them taking less plays on the football field will get them an opportunity to rest. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
But that's a new one. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's a new one. And I was like, because my little man had a football game yesterday when we got back. So I was listening to the Wait For It, and I was listening. Joe made a great point. Like, when are we going to see more of these younger players?
Yeah.
When are we going to see more of these younger guys in there and everything trying to get this rotation? Because maybe that could be, you know, less plays.
Fresh legs.
I don't know. Fresh legs, all those different things. When are we going to see more of these guys and things like that? But, I mean, you're winning in spite of it. And I think that's the most important thing. You're
exactly.
winning in spite of it right now. You got a very wounded team that's coming in here that can't run the football, but hell, who knows? Who knows how that's going to go? You know, and you were just talking out there, and they got one guy. They got some other guys that can play. I love Ferguson, tight end. Love Ferguson, tight end from Dallas.
Yeah, they weren't even on tight end day, they weren't throwing it to him yesterday.
Love him. But, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do with 88. But you find 88.
He's the one. If they're not throwing the ball to CeeDee Lamb, they're not doing anything.
They're not doing anything.
He had 150 yards yesterday, most of them in the second half. Yeah. Broken coverages, whatever. I mean, he's a great player. But if they're not throwing it to him, they can't run it.
They can't run it.
Dak doesn't run it anymore. They don't have anybody else to throw it to. I know Ferguson is a good tight end, but they didn't get him involved much yesterday. Be great. Smack the Cowboys around a little bit. Get to 6-3.
And then where you are right now as a team, I mean, I know they travel. We know them damn Cowboy fans travel.
But it should be better.
But it should be better.
You know what I mean?
Falcons
are 5-3. They're playing good.
Yeah.
Should be a lot of Falcons fans in there.
Hell yeah.
On Sunday. We gave away tickets yesterday. So we're responsible for at least two people that are going to be in there tomorrow. I know the guy is a Falcons fan. I assume he's bringing a Falcons fan with him. I don't know. He's coming with. All right. Mike Conti is going to join us next. We'll talk a little Atlanta United with him as they had their first game of the playoff series against Miami on Friday night. They'll have another one coming up on Saturday. Talk some Hawks as well as they're three games into their season. 2-1. Didn't win last night, but 2-1, so we'll talk about that. And then we'll get back into an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. 45 minutes of NFL football to start the noon hour. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Victory Monday. We'll get back into some NFL conversation in about 20 minutes, 45 minutes of NFL no huddle to start the noon hour. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Normally we have Mike Conti on Tuesdays at 11:40, but tomorrow is going to be a little bit of a different show as we're going to be broadcasting live from Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. We'll give you more details on that as the show goes on today. But yeah, very much looking forward to that show tomorrow. Going to be a lot of fun. But that means that Mike is going to join us right now. So let's get Mike Conti in here. Good morning, Mike. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Really looking forward to that show tomorrow.
Yeah.
That is going to be so cool and so special. And we had a call about it today, and it's my understanding that we're going to have bonus time with Dorless tomorrow. So you and him can sort out all this Husky stuff.
Maybe we can get Penix in there, and he could be a part of it, too.
Maybe, you know what?
We'll just let them sort it out.
By the way, I'm not joking about that. You are going to get some added time with Dorless.
Oh, good. So, good. We'll talk about the number one team in the nation, and the Oregon Ducks, and Brandon Dorless.
Well, I mean,
I look forward to that.
We don't got to bring that up.
Let's just bring up the fact that the last three times he played the Huskies, he lost all those games.
You guys in here during the break are asking me if I'm nervous about this week. I'm nervous about next week when the Huskies come in for the whiteout game.
Come on, man.
No. I'm serious.
Like, leave me alone,
it's
man.
It's an act of disrespect.
I had to take crap Hold off on. Abe all no, week no, last no, no, week, no, no, and then no. they backed
oh,
it up.
Right.
Well,
oh,
well
yeah.
first of all, Indiana did not look incredibly sharp against UW. I thought Washington played very well, but I'm being totally serious. When you anoint a team as your homecoming or whiteout opponent, that is a slap in the face. Wisconsin made Penn State their homecoming opponent. How'd that work out for
Not
them?
Very good.
Why do you do that?
I don't know.
Do you make Minnesota your homecoming opponent or Purdue? Penn State, they're pretty good.
They are
Washington,
pretty good.
Defending national runners-up. A little disrespectful to make them the whiteout opponent. So I'm very nervous for that game.
I think it's going to work out pretty good for you. I think it's going to be
well, we'll be coming off a loss. So, you know, we all know, we all know how Coach Hot Sauce does after a loss. It's not very good.
Nobody enjoys it less than Mike.
Stress ball.
Penn State has game day this weekend. Ohio State is coming to town.
Yeah.
We were just talking about Drew Aller and his leg and whether or not he'll play and all that. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's huge. They're undefeated. No, they're number three in the country. It's going to be an awesome game on Saturday.
My wife, Leanne, made such a great comment. She's like, oh, this is so great. It's a noon game you'll be able to watch before you go do Atlanta United on Saturday. And then she goes, wait a minute. You're going to be a nervous wreck. Like, I was cussing at the TV when that Wisconsin kid hit the fake punt on the first drive of the game. I'm like, the season's over. This is going to keep us out of the playoffs. I'm just a nervous wreck right now. Because the longer this goes, where they stay undefeated, the more my hopes are going to go up.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, right. That's what
the
happens.
The more
that's
my
happens.
Hopes are going to go up.
Yeah.
That's the fun part.
No, it's not fun. It's not fun at all.
That's how it's supposed to be, right?
It's a darn stressful.
That's the fun part.
If we get to, you know, December whatever, and we're in the Big Ten championship game, undefeated, playing for a first-round bye, it might be in the coronary unit up at Piedmont by then because it's just going to be too much. But I do feel bad for Aller. I hope he can play on Saturday. I thought it was a little bit of a hip drop tackle that knocked him out, which I didn't like. Bo Prabula, the backup, played really well on Saturday, but you're going up against Ohio State now. And I think Aller right now is kind of on the borderline of being in the discussion of being in New York. You don't really get the invitation to New York until you get to November.
Right.
That's where you clinch it. And right now, I still think the Heisman's kind of wide open. Mm. And if you look at Aller's numbers, and then if he can play in November, the opponents he will play, starting with Ohio State, I think he does have a runway to maybe getting himself to New York. Winning the Heisman, probably not. But getting there, I think that's an absolute possibility. He's been really good.
There's 79 more games, Mike. 79 more Hawks games.
Yeah.
But after three.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Not bad. The two home games they should have won. A little too close for comfort maybe on both. Got a little loosey-goosey finishing out that Nets game on Wednesday. I'll admit I was doing Atlanta United on Friday and didn't have like a really sharp eye on that game other than I noticed that the ball kid.
Yeah, LaMelo Ball
went always crazy from the three-point
always
line.
Always kills him.
Almost called him Lonzo for a second. LaMelo making 9 3-pointers. The one thing that stands out to me, based on what we have seen so far, guys, Dyson Daniels and Onyeka Okongwu, if they provide the offensive output that they provided in the two home games, particularly in game one, like if Okongwu and Daniels are both going to give you double-figure scoring, the Hawks are going to be a really difficult team to beat this year, I think. Because those are two players, particularly Daniels, I don't think you were really counting on much offensive output from him. You were looking at him to be a defensive stopper, get you a bunch of steals. Going into last night, he was leading the league in steals. Very small sample size, but that's what you were expecting from Daniels. Not expecting 16 points per game.
Mm.
So that, I think, is very, very promising. I liked getting Risashe in the starting lineup
last
night.
Yeah, me too.
I like that lineup.
Yep.
By the way, and I know the Hawks lost by 24. If you watch that game, I know a lot of people probably didn't because of all the football going on. The Hawks had a fourth quarter lead in that game. They led for long stretches of the game. They completely collapsed with about 8 minutes to play. But that lineup with Risashe in the starting lineup was giving Oklahoma City, a team that a lot of people expect to be in the NBA Finals this year, all kinds of problems. Got out to a 10-point lead on them, as a matter of fact. I like Risashe at the three. I like him in his starting role as a three. And quite frankly, I think DeAndre Hunter benefits from maybe some easier matchups coming off the bench. We saw that at times last year. Let's see if this becomes a thing or if DeAndre gets back quickly and it's not a thing at this point. But I liked what I saw last night.
What is DeAndre dealing with? Because he played the first couple of games. He played okay. I mean, not great.
He was good on Friday.
Yeah.
He was really good on Friday. I think he had 24 points on Friday. Sore knee. Is what the Hawks
That's
say.
That's common. That's what his injury has been often, is a sore knee. Look, I like getting Reese Shea in the starting lineup. What happened last night in the final 8 minutes of that game was Oklahoma City
going into Terminator mode.
Put the foot on the gas and said, all right, let's get SGA back in here. Yeah. Let's get Chet Holmgren isolated.
Yep.
They did a great job. They killed him. They're really, really good. They're probably going to be the one seed in the Western Conference again. They might win 60 games this year. Oklahoma's very good. I thought Atlanta United played hard on
Me
Friday.
Too.
I mean, obviously that was a tough spot. 3 games in 6 days. Miami's very good. I thought they went down there and played admirably. Obviously didn't get the win, but now they've got a chance on Saturday to do so.
So Suarez scores in the first 90 seconds, and I said right after, oh boy. Mm-hmm. You knew this would be a tough game. You don't necessarily need to win to stay alive because of the format, but you don't want to get humiliated and have any kind of mental edge go to Miami going into game two on Saturday. Boy, they did not get humiliated. They played incredibly bravely. Look, Brad Guzan was out of his mind. Winning tackles 30 yards off his line against Lionel Messi. Say no more than that. Terrific performance by Brad Guzan. As Tata Martino said after the game, Miami probably wins easily if not for Brad. Atlanta United, they got the moment of brilliance with Amador Dasaba in the 39th minute, and that put Miami under a lot of pressure. Because really, Atlanta, all you're trying to do really is get that game to penalties and steal it.
Right.
You know, you're in open play against Miami with the exhaustion that Atlanta United was going through, and then two starters going out in the first half. Pretty tall order to beat Miami straight up in open play. You're trying to get that thing to penalties and steal it. And you almost did. Brad almost got them to that point. There were moments in the second half where it was like so hard to watch because Atlanta United could start to get out on the counter a little bit. They'd force a turnover. And they'd get up to like the halfway line, and then everyone would just kind of stop because there were just no legs. They were completely out of gas. So hopefully they can replenish this week. I think they're going to be very, very competitive at the Benz Saturday night. If you missed the announcement at 10 a.m., they are going to open up the 300 level now.
Good.
If you're a season ticket holder, you can get in touch with the club. Arthur Blank will pay for two tickets for a friend or a family member. This is for season ticket holders. So I think for the first 5,000, Arthur's got you.
Oh, sweet.
Pretty cool deal there.
That is a cool deal.
He got
pretty cool deal. I think it'll be a great atmosphere. The key is, guys, can Lennon play and can Gregerson play? Because Atlanta United's entire right flank was blown apart within 30 minutes on Friday because Ronald Hernandez woke up sick and then Brooks got hurt with the dislocated shoulder. The initial indication I got on Brooks, and I don't think the club has announced anything yet, but the initial indication I got on Brooks Friday night was that maybe it wasn't as bad as first feared. So cross your fingers, maybe there's a miracle and Brooks can play on Saturday.
Man, put a harness on that thing. You'd be all right.
A harness? You don't see that too often.
A harness on it.
Everyone's like a pass rusher every once in a while. Have like that machine, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if that's legal.
Real quick, while we got you, Falcons, they did win.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
They did win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why is everyone so bothered about how they played yesterday?
They won.
Tampa's good. You beat them on the road.
They won the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thrilled.
Probably the way that it ended, you know what I mean? Just some sloppiness and kind of like I think that's if there's a reason, that's probably why.
I don't know. Maybe I'm giving Tampa too much credit. I'm looking at the quality of opponent.
Yeah,
that's
good.
A good team you beat on the road.
I'm
totally fine with it. I thought start to finish, their best offensive performance of the year. Because of the balance. And I know the numbers were a little more gaudy when Cousins threw for 500 yards against Tampa in the home game, but that was an unbalanced performance. You had more balance. And outside of Koo missing the field goal at the end, special teams. The play of that game was stopping that fake punt in the Tampa side of the field. Very well done. Very alert by the Falcons special team. So I'm great with it. And you've got a chance now. You've got Dallas kind of limping in here. On Sunday, good chance to get to 6-3. You can basically end any hope in the division for anyone else the following week when you play New Orleans. Like, you could get to the bye here feeling pretty darn good with maybe even a little bit of house money in your wallet here, because there are going to be some tough games at the end. Minnesota road certainly stands out as one. But no, I was very pleased with the Falcons' performance yesterday. I'm really shocked, honestly, at some of the negativity that's out there about, well, they still aren't very good. No, I mean, I don't think they're great. I don't think they're elite right now.
Yeah.
But how can you say they're not good?
I don't know how many teams I feel like are elite right now, and I feel like there's probably only one in the NFC.
And that team in the NFC, maybe. The other team that stands out is a team that if you had not gotten a bad pass interference call, you probably would have beat in your home stadium.
Yeah, so. And the team that I'm talking about in the NFC, the one loss they have is to Tampa.
Correct.
Who Atlanta's beaten twice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
what does
I mean,
that
it's,
tell you?
It's, you know. Pretty bunched up at the top, I feel like. Mike, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Mike.
Yeah, good seeing you guys.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get into an NFL No Huddle to kick off the hour. We'll stick with an NFL No Huddle to continue the hour. 45 minutes of NFL football coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.